Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you this morning to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben and guest host today, Greg Ferrier. It's the 21st day of October, 2005. Your weather on tap today is, well, currently, Greenville, Spartanburg, 61 degrees. And wouldn't you know, I just did a page reload. Let me see what that says here. Hang on a minute.
The latest up to date.
Yeah, I tell you. I mean, right when I'm reading the weather, it just decides to do an automatic update. Okay, there we go. Greenville, Spartanburg, 61 degrees. Downtown, 62. Anderson, 55 degrees. Clemson Station is not reporting. Today, patchy fog this morning, mostly sunny this morning, then partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Highs in the lower 80s, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain, actually, is right at 20%. So that's your weather forecast for today. Well, today we're going to have a number of different things we're going to cover, of course, with Greg in the studio. We'd like to have some good questions and discussion theologically and maybe some other things going on. The only thing on the headlines that I noticed this morning was that somebody knocked off the trial lawyer for Saddam Hussein. Fox News reported that he was killed, and I didn't see any other special info other than that on the web this morning. Interesting stuff, don't you think?
Well, I'm amazed. I thought that he had some American lawyers. I guess they're on the staff there. I was going to say that our host, Dr. Coben, is flying the plane today. I guess he's got to watch out for that hurricane down there in the Gulf. The last tracking I saw of that thing, it was going to go right across Florida again. So do you think we're ready for another disaster in this country?
Yeah, well, we sure might have another disaster if that does indeed occur. But Florida in the last couple of years has been full of these hurricane disasters. I used to wonder why property values weren't that high there compared to other places. I used to think it was the mosquitoes and the humidity. Now I see the real reason is probably that people get just wiped out by hurricanes every now and then.
Do you know that there is a building code where you have to have, at least down in South Florida where some friends of mine live, you have to have tiles on your roof? Because I guess shingles get blown off.
Mm-hmm. Well, and tiles are, you know, out here they're not as attractive, I think, for some people to buy out in the upstate of South Carolina. In California, it's the highest quality thing you can have. Is it considered high quality here or not?
Around here, yeah. I think it's probably people like the decorative look, the European Mediterranean look of tiles on the roof rather than a thatched roof.
Yeah,
you would see in jolly old England or in the British Isles.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Now, how does that? You were talking in your dissertation about building codes. How is that going to protect? How are building codes going to protect somebody down there when a hurricane comes through? And a hurricane can destroy. I don't care who you are. Weather could topple the Empire State Building if the Lord so chose to direct it and such. When we're talking about building codes, do they actually protect the public?
Well, thanks for pitching me that softball. And no, they don't actually, and that's surprising to some people. They don't realize this, but building codes in and of themselves are actually not the things that really protect people. It's more the person's reputation who's the builder. In Florida, after Hurricane Andrew, a study was done by a couple of Florida State professors, and they found, and some others as well, they found that when Hurricane Andrew went through, it knocked down 100 or damaged at least 125,000 homes. The vast majority of those.
Did you say that again? 125?
125,000
homes.
Yeah.
It was good-sized number.
Right, either destroyed or damaged by Andrew. And when that did occur, they went back and checked out, you know, which of these homes were built to code. And as they went through and checked it out, they found that in actuality, the vast majority were that of those that were destroyed were built according to code, and even next door to the ones that were you know, blown down by the hurricane were some others that still stood, but they were built before a code was enacted in Florida. So the fact that there was a building code seemed to make it worse, if anything, not better. And this I found to be the case in Santiago, Chile. I found that to be the case elsewhere that I did my own research, Baltimore and West Virginia, Pennsylvania, some of the towns that I studied, to find that indeed building codes do not make the quality or the security of a building any better. In fact, they may make it worse.
Now, I'm leading into something here. Was I interrupting you?
No, go right ahead.
I'm leading into something here. When as I perceive this right now, you have a high quality builder. He goes in there, and when he builds it right. You know, all the nails are in the right place. The sheetrock is hung as it needs to be, and the paint is on the wall as it needs to be. And then, on the other hand, you have a guy that's in there. Around here, he might be known as a jackleg. He comes in there and finishes the project and escapes just as fast as he can. You have high quality on the one end of the graph, and you have low quality on the other end of the graph. And as I said, I'm leading into this. What does the building code does a building code hurt the high quality guy? Does it improve the low quality guy? Does it make the high quality guy any better? There's where I'm curious about that. I've chatted with people about your dissertation.
Yeah.
And a lot of when I have my friends, a lot of friends in the building business, and when I tell them that a building is 10 to 15 times more likely to burn if it's been had a fire inspection, a lot of these guys say, "Yeah, you know, that doesn't surprise me." I mean, these are guys that do electrical work and they build things. And I was a little surprised myself when I first read this. And was there any real proof to that? But my building guys, they're not the least bit surprised for the most part.
Yeah, well, this isn't actually, it shouldn't be surprising, but for most people it is surprising when they talk about this. I'm not surprised by the response you just got, because when I interviewed builders, they were all very sure that building codes didn't help them build any better. It wasn't as if they were going to do shoddy work if the building code wasn't there. The building code was looked more at more like a nuisance or an excess, something superfluous. And the reason it fails to really serve the public interest well is on account of two things. One is that building inspectors can't possibly inspect every building. There's just too many of them going up. And eventually what they do is they go out the first time, they check it out, and unless they just want to harass somebody, which they frequently do as well, by not passing something or making them do some extra requirement, what the building inspector does is simply give it a rubber stamp based on the person's reputation and name. Yeah, we've inspected Ferrier before, or whoever it may be. We know he does good work. We'll stamp it as approved. Or they'll drive by, take a quick look over their shoulder, and stamp it as approved. They just don't have enough time. They don't have enough information. What we say, it's a knowledge problem. They can't possibly regulate it. The other problem they have is public choice problems. And that's an economics jargon, basically meaning that people who are in the political process serve their own self-interest primarily, and sometimes this serving your own self-interest rather than the public interest leads to distortive effects. One of these, at the most crass example, was the example out there in Seoul, South Korea, in the mid-1990s, when that mall fell down, the 9-story mall, and killed 145 or more people. And the reason it did is quite shocking. It was built to code in Korea, and they have just as strong a building code as we have here. It was a lack of code enforcement, or excuse me, of code direction there. But what happened was the builder, started running out of money, and so he used an inferior concrete mix and less rebar. And after he did that, he decided, you know, the architect only had built had said this should be 8 floors. I'd really like it to be 9. Need another floor. So he just threw up another floor on top. And then to make matters worse, he threw a swimming pool on the 9th floor. And the whole thing collapsed, came tumbling down, killed all those people. And people started crying, "Well, why in the world did this happen?" Well, it turns out that the building inspector confessed the next day or two to taking bribes.
Perverse incentive, as economists say.
Yeah, that's right. It's a perverse incentive. So at any rate, this is the most crass kind of example, but this can happen. We see perverse incentives everywhere in the Food and Drug Administration and regulation of pharmaceuticals and many other areas, which lead to distortive effects in the economy. For those two reasons, building codes fail to do what's well. And we could go on and talk about this ad nauseum, but it's no surprise that building regulation just doesn't function well.
Yeah, I've seen situations where they maybe couldn't get in the house, and they look in the window and just look around and just pass it just because everything looked okay. I've had that happen to me up in North Carolina, where I used to live out in the country, and we had a schedule foul up. The guy didn't show up on time, and we had to leave, and he came by, looked in the window, wrote us a little note and said, "Well, I didn't see everything, but you pass." And well, there you have it. As far as I know, the house is still standing.
Yeah. And you weren't too upset about the fact that...
Not the least. Not in the least. My family was going to live in that house, so I did it as well as I could. Have we got time to go into any... How much more time we have here?
Well, we got a couple minutes.
All right. Well, then, this is what I was leading into. The other day, I went to a Pickens County educators meeting. I don't know exactly what they call it. It was actually propaganda for the new penny tax, as they call it. There was an article on that in the Times Examiner. Our friends the Times Examiner have picked this up for Pickens County, where somebody wrote in and they talked about the penny tax and criticized it as it is being propagandized in Pickens County. It was a meeting up at the Liberty Middle School, and they want the penny tax to build new buildings for the centers of indoctrination, the pagan seminaries. And they got up there, and we went down.
That's also known as public schools. For new listeners, they may not understand our technical jargon. Pagan seminaries equals public school.
Okay, a.k.a. public school. Okay, excuse me for running on too fast about all that. They got up there and they gave us all the facts and figures about all the millions of dollars that they were either going to spend or save, and it was going to be an either-or situation. Either you give us the penny tax, or we're going to raise your property tax, or we have to raise the property taxes.
Yeah, threats.
Yeah, threats. And they were they knew this wasn't going to go over well with the public, because the Pickens County politics and the education system does not have a great reputation. And there is already a group out there that's looking to bring in the facts. I told this to somebody that I know in the business and said that most of what they said up there were lies. Well, be that as it may, there's one accusation that I cannot substantiate. But my point being, or maybe not the point, but my example that perhaps you can bring up another principle, John, they got these kids up there. One was the president of the student council, and I don't know who the this was a young lady, and an articulate young lady, and then there was another young man that was up there with her, and she spoke first, and then this young man gave a guided videotape tour. They brought they had the screen up there, and somebody made an amateur videotape of all the horrible conditions in the school. And it made it look like it was an old abandoned locker room, which I guess in some cases they were.
Yeah.
They had
It's too bad they aren't all that way, by the way.
Yeah. Well, there's a they went through, I forget if it was a girls' locker room or the ladies' room at the football stadium, I forget where, and some storage rooms, and they actually showed some videotape of wires hanging out of the ceiling. and a whole bunch of other crowded classrooms and the crowded cafeteria and the crowded kitchen and everything else. I'll tell you what, it looks like we're running out of time. Let's take this up on the other end of the break, and we'll go on from there. We'll be right with you.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
You are listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, 97.7 FM in Greenville, 87.9 FM in Spartanburg, and Liberty, and 96.5 FM in Piedmont.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Okay, I hope we can do a little bit of both to everybody today. It is my assignment that has been given to me, and I have chosen to accept it to bring us back into onto the radio waves. All right, well, I was talking in the last segment about there was a couple of kids at this meeting, and the superintendent said that these kids were unsolicited. They actually came to administration and were talking about the conditions of Liberty High School and these other places. And they took us on this tour. The young man took us on a videotape tour where the president of the student council was there. And they were talking about the crowded cafeteria, the crowded library, the crowded this and that. All these things were old and worn down, and they even showed wires hanging out, bare wires hanging out of a ceiling. Now, to me, there's something that's potentially dangerous. Mm-hmm. All kinds of problems. Now, if the building inspector was on the job, wouldn't he be on somebody's case to get those wires back up in the wall, put a fixture on there? I mean, here was a fixture that had been torn down, and just two bare wires coming out of the ceiling.
Well, building inspectors only have to inspect the building when it's initially made or when it's remodeled, so they may not have seen that if it happened later on. But also, building inspectors aren't necessarily required to inspect government buildings. In fact, federal buildings are never inspected. And I'm not sure of how it is with public schools. My guess is there is some sort of an inspection agency, but it's probably not the local building inspector that does that. They just presume that if it's going to be a public school, it's going to be built right. So it shouldn't be any surprise that the wires are hanging down. They could have planted them that way. It could have been just a deterioration over time. You don't know. But the building inspector would have never seen that.
Yeah, well, I do know there's a fire inspector out in one of the local towns by me. He may come into your restaurant and have his lunch, and next thing you know, he'll get up and do a fire inspection on you.
Yeah.
And if there's a little extra grease on the stove or something like that, you know that you might get whacked or warned, one or the other.
Mm.
They do what they want to do. Not to say this is a bad guy or anything, but he's out there doing his job. I've been on jobs where somebody needed something fixed, and you could not continue on the job unless the fire inspector or the building inspector came through. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like remodeling and so forth. And I remember a job that I was involved in where the building inspector came in. He was actually the fire marshal, and this is an old lady, ran an old boarding house for these foreign students. And he came in there, and he started to look at some of the dangerous things that were actually going on in this house. And this cost this lady probably an extra $1,000 for things that had actually gone wrong.
Hmm.
I went a little afield there, but I'm talking in terms of, I want to know how in the world or why these things were allowed to continue as they were. It's basically because of the bureaucracy, is it not?
Sure.
Where's the money going to put up, $50 you can get a fixture put up.
Yeah.
In a school.
Right. Well, it may cost more than that in a school because of the way things work that way. Maybe 500, but still, it could be done. It could be, and more than likely, it's propaganda. That's the whole point.
In other words, you're saying there's a little chicanery going on around here.
Probably so.
In other words, let it deteriorate. Let everybody see how bad it is. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, some of these administrators, I think the cheapest one up there or the least expensive salary was something like $80,000 a year.
Yeah. That's pretty good money for Liberty, isn't it, I would think.
Yeah. I know a fellow who used to be an administrator up there, and any number of times he said to me, I'm amazed that they pay me so much for what I do.
Uh-huh.
And the superintendent makes over $100,000 a year.
Sounds like a good position to get into.
Yes.
If you like it. Well, I mean, you know, abortion clinics are also a good position to get into if you want to talk about making money. But we're being a little facetious in some sense here. But we don't think Christians should be involved with any immoral behavior such as working in public schools. But I want to remind people before we go on with this topic just that last night was the meeting of the League of the South. And how did I know that? I went to tyrannyresponse.com and I looked on the calendar, which Rip and Richie has put up under the events tab. Now don't be dismayed when you see stuff that's out of date a little bit there. Yeah, he's still got Christian Exodus up there and talking about meetings that have been in the past. But Rip and Richie will get around to cleaning that up, and it'll all be put square. The League of the South meeting was last night. I was hoping to attend that meeting, and I had a conflict with my lovely wife. I needed to go out and take her to a special event last night. So unfortunately, I wasn't able to get back. I thought I would make the end of the meeting. So if anybody was expecting me there and was disappointed that I wasn't there, I'm sorry. But I will be trying to attend a week from tomorrow in Columbia. I'm trying to get the details on the entire statewide League of the South meeting in Columbia, which will occur Saturday the 29th, and we'll try to get more details to you as they become available. Or you can always go to the Google and search for yourself, South Carolina League of the South, and find out about the Columbia meeting. Tonight there is a meeting of the Carolina Patriots in Fountain Inn, and that will be occurring off of Fairview Street, and then Fairview Road is Fairview Street, I think, in Fountain Inn, and then you go down to Main Street, make a right, it's at 102, I believe, is the address, or 102A upstairs. On Monday morning, there's a Americans for Constitutional Government meeting. This is important. Need to make that meeting if you possibly can. It's a good meeting. And this week, or this month, you want to bring your homeschooled students. Why? Because there's going to be someone there to explain to homeschooled students how the representative process works in terms of suggesting a bill and how it gets passed through Congress.
That's Mike Fair.
Is that Mike Fair who's
yep.
doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, they're going to be doing that at 10 o'clock in the morning on Monday. So if you can, folks, now I know those of you who are beleaguered by Christian school schedules, and especially if you're beleaguered by public school, you won't be able to attend this. But for homeschoolers, should be easy, mom or dad, to get up a little bit earlier, get most of the work done, and plan to do a little bit of work after lunch that you wouldn't normally do, or just give them a couple hours off. Head down to Pelham Road, Sims Library there, off of Pelham Road, and at 10 o'clock in the morning through 12, listen to this gentleman explain how our governmental process works as far as enacting legislation. Should be really, really interesting for them, and I plan to be there. Are you going to go, Greg?
We've put it out on the, I've got no more kids in school, but we've got it out on the mail chain. So we ought to have the people from, our Easily Home Educators will probably have some people out there.
Great.
Will probably be represented.
Well, excellent. Okay, well, what's next on the topic? We've got about 4 minutes for the top of the hour break.
Okay, well, let's take 4 minutes, and we were talking about building codes and that little propaganda film that the Pickens County school system put out there, and you said there's a threat out there. There's either a penny tax or you raise your property taxes, and they want to spend a large sum of money to begin to renovate these old buildings. And I sit here and I think, you know, why do people not see that it costs more and more money? This is a it's run by the government. And when something is run by the government, by definition, it is a socialistic system or a communistic system. Communism / socialism has never worked. It gets more expensive. It's doomed to failure.
Unless you happen to be one of the socialists.
Yes. It's there for their purposes.
It's fabulously successful for communists right. and socialists. They did very well mm-hmm. under communism. Anyway, go ahead.
Yes. Well, anyway, I'm right with you on that thing. The people up at the top just have numbed everybody into thinking this is how it needs to be. And public schools, why, you know, there's been one around since I can remember, and even before that. And I mean, I know a man.
But they still haven't been around that long. We're only talking about, mm-hmm. 1850s when the Massachusetts schools really started going. And it wasn't until effectively after Lincoln, our famous scumbag in history, really, and Grant, that we had public schools just explode. I will also, just one technical correction here before we go on. All government endeavors in the economy are not necessarily classified technically as socialism, although I use that term pretty loosely myself, as Greg just did. Just in case anybody's getting technical here, if government runs the post office or government runs a building inspection agency, this is not necessarily socialism. It could just be public enterprise. That is, government taking a monopoly privilege to itself and running a market-generated business. Socialism, per se, has to do with the redistribution of wealth and, to some extent, I guess you could say, behavior modification, thought modification, those kinds of things. So a public school is definitely socialistic. There's no question there. But I think Greg had said that anytime the government does something, it's socialism. And I just wanted to get that little technical correction there.
Okay. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead. We've still got time to go on to this. We're on it.
We got 1 minute left.
That's enough for me to finish up what I'm saying here. They want us to vote to continue this continuing mess. And I'm sitting here wondering how in the world or when in the world are people going to get out of the mentality. It's a long road to hoe. They had kids coming up there, you know, all dressed up and articulate, saying, you know, vote for the penny tax so that we can have great schools, and not only us, but our children as well. And I thought, oh boy, we got a long. My wife and I walked out of that meeting thinking, boy, we got a long way to go.
It gets worse and worse. Why? Because the public school has effectively indoctrinated people into this sort of thinking. It's our main enemy, folks. The thing you shouldn't have anything to do with. sin to be involved with. I've said that many times. Got in trouble for it. Don't mind getting in trouble for if we're proclaiming the truth, though. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben with guest host Greg Ferrier today, and we're going to go and try to take a break here. Go ahead and say the last word here, Greg, and we'll be back in a minute.
All right. Well, I think that was well said, John. Let's see what we can do to turn the tide in regard.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to Homeschooler Friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
You are listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, 97.7 FM in Greenville, 87.9 FM in Spartanburg and Liberty, and 96.5 FM in Piedmont.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. It's 21st day of October 2005 with guest host today, Greg Ferrier. Your weather is as follows. Greenville, Spartanburg, 60 degrees. Downtown, also at 60. Anderson is at 57. Today, patchy fog this morning, mostly sunny this afternoon, then partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Highs in the lower 80s, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain is at 20%. So a lot of, precipitation in the forecast possibly for you today. Well, we're having a good old chat here. Now remember, the Tyranny Response Unit is actually flying the plane today, which is always problematic because I can't even walk and chew gum at the same time. But when I can do one thing well, and the problem is when you try to do more than one, obviously. But I'll tell you what, if you have a phone call, go ahead and try to give us a call today. We'd be happy to talk with you. Greg and I will try to put you on the air. The only problem is, if you don't get through right away, call back, because it meant that I probably did something here that didn't make it work right. But we'll be happy to, if you want to talk about building regulation or public schools or taxes in Pickens County or any of the other things we get into today, by all means, give a call to the show, 864-201-6955 is a backup line, 864-244-9904, the main line, and 864-244-8177. I had one guest column come in today from Corey Burnell. He's the president of Christian Exodus and, of course, the head of this great thing that was going on this last weekend where I was a speaker. It caused all sorts of consternation in the liberal media. And here's a guest column from Katie John. And it's entitled, Let Them Secede from the United States. It's Washington Square News, Friday, October 21st. Since the 2004 presidential election, it has been said in the U.S. red state is a state of mind and a rainbow of political cultures. We have red states, blue states, green states like Oregon, golden states, rich communities, and city states like Manhattan, all coexisting peaceably in the way of different religious celebrations harmonize during the holiday season. However, we should note that the term for peaceful cohabitation of different groups is not assonance, but tolerance. And as we all know, people only tolerate so much. The last time Americans drew the proverbial line, the war result was war that pitted brother against brother. Well, there's no debate about that. But anyway, this is happening unassumingly, nonviolently, right under our noses. South Carolina's notorious history of resistance is still very much alive. Today, she threatens to secede under the banner of Christian Exodus. In their own words, Christian Exodus is an association of Christians who no longer wish to live under the unjust usurpation of powers by the federal government, and therefore resolves to formally disassociate itself from this tyrannical authority and to return to the model of governance for a constitutional republic. And we seek a republican government constrained by constitutionally delegated powers. And that was right off the Christian Exodus website. So they're getting some more press. There was a guy from Texas who spoke at the event who wanted Texas to secede as well. He's running for governor on the secession ticket. I don't know how many votes he's going to get over in Texas, especially with those big cities there. But anyway, that was something interesting, don't you think?
Oh, indubitably here. I was looking at Stephen Yates' book. Can we use this as a time to plug his book?
By all means.
All right. We have a conflict here between people and the state. And there's principles here that are set down by Dr. Stephen Yates, our friend Dr. Stephen Yates, who was on the show when I was flying the plane. I wasn't flying the plane. I was just observing the pilot there that day. When I was subbing, when you were down there in South America, we had him on here, and he chatted about a variety of things, particularly NAFTA and CAFTA and so forth. But Dr. Yates has written a book, and it's the World Views Project. And it's the title is World Views, / Christian Theism versus Modern Materialism. And this book is $18.99 plus $2.50 shipping and handling for the Constitution Party members.
Also libertarians.
Also libertarians. All right. In other words, I would assume, but I'm not saying this authoritatively, that if you are a friend of the Constitution Party or a freedom-loving person, you may be able to get it for that price of $18.99 plus $2.50 shipping and handling. And the orders go to the World Views Project, care of Dr. Stephen Yates, that's Y-A-T-E-S, 3500 Pelham Road, that's P-E-L-H-A-M Road, Suite 216, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. And all checks should be made to the World Views Project. This is a limited time offer. Regular cover price will be $20.99 on official publication September. So it's out there, and it's I have it in my hand.
Yeah, pick up a copy of it if you can, folks. It's a good book to get. And by the way, I'm about to assemble my next book. If you haven't got a copy of my first book, Bible and Government: Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, be sure to get it. But I'm just now in the process of creating a new book, just putting together some of the final chapter structuring and rewriting a little bit of the conclusion for a book called The Christian Theology of Public Policy, Highlighting the American Experience. That's our new book coming out, folks. It'll be out in 2006, so be thinking about that. But until that time, be sure you get a copy of Dr. Yates' book as well as my current book. And have a read at those things. I had a gentleman come up to me the other day from the League of the South, just wanted to commend me, and he said, "Dr. Coben, I want to know you're a special person in my life." I said, "Oh, really? Why is that?" And he said, "You're the only person whose book I've read twice in many, many years. Most of the time, I only read a book once, and that's it. But your book, I found so fascinating, I went back and read it again." And so
there's a lot of instruction in that book.
Well, I appreciate him saying that. And there is a lot for you to glean from if you can pick up a copy of Bible and Government, and also Dr. Stephen Yates' book. Bible and Government is available on the policyofliberty.net website under the Alertness Books tab. So go there if you want to get a copy of it. Worldviews, you'll need to actually write to the Worldviews Project, care of Dr. Yates, to get a copy mailed to you.
Maybe someday we can get that thing into a textbook format with questions and answers and things like that, because it does put a lot of principles out there that I'd be thrilled if we could raise up another generation of kids that don't stand up in front of an audience and urge you to vote for an extra penny tax to pay for public socialistic schooling.
Right.
I was looking just for looking through the book here, Dr. Yates' book on Chapter 8 regarding materialism and the struggle between power and freedom. That's Chapter 8. That's the whole gist of the whole matter, where one group or person is looking to keep power and perhaps obtain his own freedom, and in doing so he takes freedom away from other folks. The situation with the tax situation there in Pickens County, people are afraid of losing their homes out there, and yet these people have the nerve to go out and say, if you don't vote for this tax, we're going to have to raise property taxes. Instead of, well, let's scuttle the whole system and see if we can bring in free market somehow. So Dr. Yates' book, I dare say, could be handy and helpful in having us discern what these power struggles are all about between your own freedom and the powers that be, the powers that have the upper hand at the present time.
Good. Yeah, it's a great piece. I haven't actually finished the book yet, but it's a good, you know, anything Stephen's going to say is going to be pretty much right on the money. We know about Stephen well. He's one of our favorite boys here in town, and I'll be certainly getting to it. I have one of these things with philosophy. I like to sit down and read it occasionally, but I have to really be into it that moment to really want to get into it. Whereas history, I can pick up anytime, any place, anywhere, and read and enjoy that. So that book's gotten sort of mixed up with a pile of a number of other things I've been reading. One of the other things I've been reading now, by the way, is Thomas DiLorenzo's book, How Capitalism Saved America. Now, he wrote the book also called The Real Lincoln, which many of you are familiar with, and it's a great book exposing what a scoundrel Abraham Lincoln was. For many reasons. But this other book he's written, How Capitalism Saved America, is equally worth reading. It's a basic introduction and lesson on economics and why we need to have capitalism, private property rights, and why government tends to subvert our rights. It's a tremendous book. Hope you get a chance to read it. Now, before we go on, I wanted to mention here, we only have a minute before the break, got a quotation from Beza, from the research staff. In confrontation with a cruel and bloodthirsty Duke of Geese or Guise? Geese, I think, isn't it?
No, that's European. I'm not quite into that yet.
Geese or Guise. Beza made this memorable statement: "Sire, it belongs in truth to the Church of God, in the name of which I address you, to suffer blows, not to strike them, but at the same time, let it be your pleasure to remember the Church is an anvil which is worn out by many a hammer." So I guess the point there is, look, you know, if you're going to be attacking the Church of God, just remember, the Church of God is going to stand no matter what kind of blows you evil men throw at it, because ultimately we know why. God's the one who's supporting the Church. He's keeping the Church going, and if God wants it to go, I don't care how many men hammer on it.
In spite of how foolish we might be, God still, he's the one who runs the Church and looks out for it, in spite of our foibles and foolishness. That's it. Have we run out of time? All right, we'll be back shortly.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Guest host today in the studio with me is Mr. Greg Ferrier. The Times Examiner is the independent conservative voice of the Palmetto State. If you're tired of reading liberal columnists, the Times Examiner features outstanding conservative and libertarian columnists, including yours truly, as well as Dr. Walter Williams, my teacher, Dr. Thomas Sowell, Walter Williams' teacher, and many other local favorites like Ben Graydon, Stephen Yates, and nationally known people like Joe Sobrin and Charlie Reese. The Times Examiner supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at newsstands around Greenville or at their offices located at 44 Pine Knoll Drive. A full year subscription to the Times Examiner is only $25 in state. Just call 864-268-0576. If you're out of state, it's $27. The phone number to subscribe is 864-268-0576. And remember, too, that if you want to place an ad, we encourage you to do so. Help the paper and help your business. Not that expensive to advertise with them. Call David. Ask for him specifically at 864-859-6817. That's 864-859-6817. Thanks for supporting that great little paper. And always turn to page 10, where you'll find the Tyranny Response Unit's articles. Page 7 is also great because it has Walter Williams, Tom Sowell, and Ben Graydon there, and some others. Here's a quotation from James Madison for the day. We have staked our whole future of American civilization not on the power of government, but upon the capacity of each and every one of us to govern ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. Wow. Isn't that something else? He didn't ask for the government to install the Ten Commandments of God, but Madison is saying that we have structured in such a way that we ourselves can govern ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. I suppose he's talking about the state level, maybe, or just as an individual. What do you think?
Well, I think in James Madison time, it was probably on the state level, because there was not the ACLU around, and people that were looking to get rid of, well, there were people looking to get rid of, there were atheists and people of that nature around back then, but it was perhaps more ingrained in the society, where adulterers were looked down upon, or liars and thieves and idolaters, people who didn't look out for their parents and honor them. Those things were looked down upon. Now it's just catch as catch can. If you happen to be raised in a lousy home with lousy parents, there's no need for reconciliation. Just go on from there and act like the animal you were taught to be.
Yes. Okay.
All right. There's my answer in short. We could go on from there.
Right. Well, we can if you want. We had some other things we were going to talk about, and one other thing that was on the docket of things to discuss, it was this article that came out in Numbers USA Action Alert that was sent up to me. Roy Beck, president of Numbers USA, says, "A phone now to stop Specter Kennedy on Thursday morning from importing hundreds of thousands of more skilled workers. More American jobs are in danger. Set a committee is poised to act Thursday to okay hundreds of thousands of additional high-skilled foreign workers to compete with our students and experienced American workers. I'm sending this out to those of you who live in the state with a senator on the Judiciary Committee. If you've never called the Senate office, this is a time to start." This kind of stuff actually annoys me more than anything else, just because it doesn't, the economist in me just doesn't make sense when they start talking like this. Because what we have in any situation, and you have a free market, is a lot of fluidity in labor. It's a dynamic market. The idea that we will lose jobs unless government protects our jobs is, on its face, very, very dubious to me. The idea that we have to have the state protect us, otherwise we'll have some foreigner come in and take away our work, just doesn't make any sense. I'd rather have free competition for everybody, and so that way wages are always kept in balance and line, and people who no longer have productive skilled jobs will have to go and do something else. I know that's a little bit unattractive at times, but in the economic world, that's how buggy whips, workers get transformed into people who actually make automobiles, or kerosene lamp makers and whale oil fishermen turn into people who produce electric light bulbs.
Are whales fish?
I don't think so.
Whale fishermen? I guess they all go out to sea and...
Yeah, whaler. I don't know. Is it? What do they call it? A whaler, right?
Yeah, a whaler. Well, pardon me for that. I couldn't resist it. But if you read a little further down in that article, this is something that bears a little... a little more attention there in that you in my estimation are right in that here we have people that are upset that we have foreign outsourcing and so forth and losing American jobs and so forth, but part of that article says that it's the government is actually propagating this sort of thing. In other words, it's giving some of these industries that want to outsource these things, it's giving them an upper hand to do it. It's giving them, it's actually making them easier to do this. And when the government's got their hand in this end of the economy, that's the other end of the snake, you might say.
Yeah, that's very true. And government can cause this kind of distortion. But, you know, outsourcing in and of itself is not going to be as big a problem in the long run, just because the market will have a way of sorting this stuff out itself. I don't know about you, but I cannot stand calling a customer service line, already having to punch in all those numbers. You know, like if you call one company, they make you punch your phone number in, and then make you do it again after you hear internally transfer you on the automatic service. Punch your credit card number in and the expiration date, and let me verify security. And I'm sorry, sir, because of the Patriot Act, we have to also have you punch in your street address or whatever else. You get annoyed with all that, and 10 minutes later you get somebody on the phone from the Philippines, or somebody on the phone from India, and I don't know what the story is. If they don't get the nuances in your language and what you're trying to say and what you're trying to get across, they're inefficient, or if they're just reading a script, or if they're just dumb, even worse than our public school graduates, I don't know, but it's very, very frustrating, and I'm to the point where if I'm buying a piece of software, or I'm getting some kind of phone service or whatever, and someone were to advertise, we cost $10 more a month, but when you call, you get an American, and you don't have to talk to somebody overseas, I'm going to pay the extra $10. It's not worth it to me to have these to hassle with this frustration. I was on it with American Express yesterday, hassling with them, and the woman from the Philippines just couldn't understand. And it was very, very frustrating to me. It took about, 30 minutes of my time, maybe 40 minutes, trying to explain to her, and finally I got some resolve, but I know it wouldn't have taken that long for somebody to just understand the language better.
Yeah, I've actually gotten somebody from Oklahoma, and he actually spoke, I could understand his Western accent. Instead of, no problem, Mr. Perry, we'll have the problem rectified directly, or something to that effect.
Yeah.
I'm not, actually, I guess I am making fun of them, but anyway, it's part of the annoyance and the frustration that this whole thing is putting us up to.
Yeah, European ones are not nearly as problematic for me as these other guys from India and the Philippines. That just drives me nuts. It's really very, very difficult to deal with. And, again, we don't need the government to really solve this problem. People in the market are already going to start demanding no more outsourcing. And it's going to change things, I think, for the better. I don't think we're going to need the state to fix this problem. So there's an example, in my opinion, of how markets tend to sort these things out over time, any rate, without government interference.
Yeah, we went a little bit afield of what the actual point was. I work with a lot of Filipino and Indian doctors, so I guess I don't have as much trouble as you have with their accent. Although, boy, I tell you, the other day I was having a rough time. But back to away from accents, and back to. The thing that began to get you annoyed was people that complain about losing American jobs. Well, I don't like to see my neighbor lose his job, but when you have the government is making it easier for companies to do the outsourcing, when I say make it easier, they create a bureau, create a law that actually practically demands that you do the outsourcing. In other words, it costs you money, tax money, and a loss of your freedom when the government actually goes out there and puts some legislation together, or it may not even be legislation, it may be bureaucratic, which is another point. Legislators, your congressmen, your senators, they go out and they make a law. But because years ago they have actually made bureaucrats, that makes the legislators, your congressman, your senator, your representative, and so forth, they're not responsible for, now they're ultimately responsible, but they can't look you in the eye and say, well, I didn't know anything about that fire regulation or that regulation that you can't transfer funds. This bureaucrat with the federal such-and-such regulation, he's the one that says you can't do it, and I know nothing about that.
Yeah. Very well, this is the typical, monkey, pass the buck sort of mentality that happens in government agencies everywhere. You never get straight answers, never do you have responsibility, and the buck never stops literally with anybody in the state, and that's one problem with the state. It never is responsible because nobody has a profit motive, nobody cares about their own private property and issue. It's easy to spend someone else's money and to control other people's lives. And politicians typically have incentives that are very different from normal people because of that. They might as well be men from the moon in the way they behave.
So. Like the customer service phone chain, you got a much bigger chain that to get to the person who can actually help you with your problem with the government.
Well, we've got we've only got a minute before the bottom of the hour break, but I tell you, we do have an email that came in, somebody writing about building regulations. Somebody's been listening to us this morning. We'll get back to that as soon as we come back from the return of after the break at the bottom of the hour. Want to give you a quick ad, however, for the Libertarian Party. Are you tired of politicians who raise
taxes?
Don't
be quick, John. Just get passionate about it.
All right.
Okay.
All right. We'll try.
Okay.
Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting Libertarian for a change. Pickens County, take notice this morning. Would you like to meet other Libertarians? You'll find they are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our Republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month in Greenville at the library on Malden Road between the Old Stadium and Lawrence Road. In Spartanburg, the business meeting is the third Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. and is at the Westside branch of the Spartanburg County Library. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the Libertarian Underground at 8 p.m. in Greenville. It's at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street downtown. In Spartanburg, the meeting is called Liberty Aplenty, and it's on the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network.
That's better, John. That's reading that like you had just hit that home run, pumping your fist up and down. All right, we'll be right back.
Question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904. 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network, sensible radio that knows that open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed.
You are listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, 97.7 FM in Greenville, 87.9 FM in Spartanburg, and Liberty, and 96.5 FM in Piedmont.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Guest host today, Greg Ferrier, this 21st day of October 2005. Greenville, Spartanburg, 61 degrees. Downtown, 60 degrees. Anderson, 57 degrees. Today, patchy fog this morning, mostly sunny this afternoon. Then partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Highs in the lower 80s. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain is at 20%. Remember, Rip and Richie's show will probably be on sometime today. The Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse podcast, try to tune in on your way and your drive back from work to the Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse. You'll be glad you did. It's another good live talk show. I was a listener called in and said that he was driving up to Columbus. I think he was at Columbus, North Carolina. It's just not too far away from the border, right? Of North, I mean, just north of Spartanburg. And they were picking up the Tyranny Response Network up there. Can you believe that? All the way up in Columbus, North Carolina, we're being heard. And I don't know how many people live in Columbus, North Carolina. I've never been there. But it was interesting that he brought that up. I forgot to mention that on yesterday's show. Well, we got a couple of emails in from people here that we need to bring up, because we always like to respond to our listeners. And Paul sends in a quick note about the trial with Irwin Schiff out in Las Vegas. Irwin Schiff, of course, has been a great tax patriot for years, trying to tell people they don't need to file income tax returns. The whole system is illegal, and the Federal Mafia is his favorite famous book. He says, I wanted to alert you to a significant event that has manifested itself in the Irwin Schiff, Cynthia Nguyen, Lawrence Cohen trial, currently underway in Las Vegas. In development reminiscent of my own trial, the jury has apparently asked to have Cindy Nguyen's IRS codebook brought to them so that they could examine it. The judge has apparently denied this request, saying that providing it to the jury would be problematic. Can you believe that?
A problem for who?
Yeah, apparently the judge is more concerned about keeping the status quo than letting people know the truth. The first day of the jury's deliberations of my trial, he said the prosecution's worst nightmare came true when the jury asked to see for themselves a year 2000 edition of the Title 26 Code of Federal Regulations. Title 26 of the Code of Federal Regulations is a compendium of rules created by the Secretary of the Treasury to clarify and implement the Internal Revenue Code. As one of the jurors explained after my trial, the jury wanted to compare the excerpts I had taken from the Code of Federal Regulations and presented to the Internal Revenue Service to see if I had been truthful. Anyway, jurors' suspicions about prosecution's case are understandably heightened when they are forbidden from looking at the very book of laws the defendant is accused of violating. And the latest news on the Schiff trial is very interesting. We're following that, of course, closely here, and appreciate Paul actually sending that in. Appreciate Paul sending in that little note to us. We also had a note come in from Chuck, who's listening intently this morning and faithfully to our program. He says, Hi, John and Greg. What kind of thinking process is going on if folks are persuaded by pictures of poorly maintained buildings? Older buildings can be of great beauty, for example, the Biltmore House, Mount Vernon, etc., if well-built and then maintained. Sometimes even just the latter will do. When I see poorly maintained property, I don't get an itch to throw more money at the owners who let it get that way. That's a good point. Why, you know, you brought that up too. Why don't they just maintain this thing? Put up a $50 fixture or a $500 fixture, and I don't really get an itch either when I see a dilapidated building. I'm with Chuck. I don't want to throw money at it.
Oh, let me run a little parallel. Some years ago, I took a cardiology course with a rather famous doctor, Dr. Rotota. And he had worked, just incidentally, he had worked one of these pioneers in EKG, ECG mechanics and so forth. And he did partway through the course, he'd come in once a week for so many weeks and teach us this sort of thing back in my old hospital days. And about midway through the course, he went and visited the Soviet Union at the time. And this was the early 70s. And he came back and he started berating socialized medicine and the whole problem of the Soviet Union. And he said that he was walking down one of the main streets in Moscow, and he said all of a sudden, he said one of the marquees in one of the theaters just fell off, the plaster just fell off it. And he says, you see this type of thing everywhere. The hospitals were primitive. And he said, when you see the Russian doctors doing this amazing eye surgery and all these other kinds of things that they do, he says, that's showcase medicine. He says the average Russian or person that lived in the Soviet Union had primitive medicine to deal with. And he said, I'm drawing the parallel here. The building is not being maintained. Now, I'm not, I know a few of the janitors up there, and these guys, you know, good, diligent people, but there's only so much you can do. Mm-hmm. the Soviet Union, in their hospital system and just the general maintenance of their buildings and their own places, are not maintained. There's no incentive. Maybe there's no money, or some bureaucrat is saying, no, we need to beautify this on the east side of town and leave the west side of town alone. There was a book out called Fox Bat. Remember that pilot that flew the a fox bat? They were up in formation, and they flew. He broke away from his formation and outran his squadron to Japan.
Right.
And one of the things in his book was that he said the bureaucrats over there in Moscow would be telling us out in apple country when to pick the apples, and the apples would be falling on the ground and rotting, and they'd be saying, no, it's not time yet, and we'd be actually looking at them. The whole point being, here's a parallel. Maybe there's not quite as much damage done over here in Liberty or in Pickens County, but the parallel is there. The people are paying attention to the things that interest them, and so forth. It's all part of that socialist communist system that the bureaucrats are running the show, and the guys down there that are supposed to be doing the job have no incentive to really to do these things. So hence you find these deteriorated conditions.
Yeah, well, bureaucrats and politicians never saw a tax they didn't like. That's just the way it is. And those people will do whatever they can, manipulate the system in any way they can in order to gain more power, more prestige, a bigger budget. That's usually done by a bigger budget. And that's their main interest in all of this. They want to get reelected primarily, but in the process of getting reelected, they want to pass out as much pork as projects, as much local projects as possible to gain that support, and then increase the budget size, especially the bureaucrats, so that they might be able to have more power and prestige for themselves. So, yeah, I'm with Chuck on this, so that's just appalling to me when I see, any kind of tax hike, done in this kind of fashion. It's typical, though. It's nothing surprising. It's even more appalling when it's done for the public school. That is the pagan seminary. That should be not only dilapidated, it should be just bulldozed down, and all the kids should be sent home, of course. That's a whole different topic. But I know you wanted to bring up something about Clint Eastwood or something today, right? And why don't we go ahead and do that?
Is it time to do that now?
Yeah, we might as well. You're getting clerks winding down here.
Make my day. Bring up Clint Eastwood, who I used to like to watch some of his movies, but after a while they started getting more and more, in my estimation, obscene. So I've pretty much avoid that situation. But there are some movies or segments of those movies that are quite interesting. The 44 Magnum, right, or those big rifles that he might handle in some of those things. Let me ask you, John, why do you think Clint Eastwood movies are so popular? Have any idea? I have an idea.
Oh, yeah. Well, Clint Eastwood is just the cool guy. He's Mr. Cool and Collected, the guy who sees beyond state misery and folly. And of course, he is a libertarian in real life as well. Was the mayor of Carmel as a libertarian. I don't know if he's a deep thinking libertarian, but some of those Dirty Harry movies and whatnot, they portray him as a guy who hates these ridiculous rules that are thrust upon him by state bureaucrats and politicians that make it harder for him to do his job, and he's going to do it his way and get it done right. He lets the one woman go in the one show who clearly killed the people who raped her because the government refused to put those men in jail. There's some of that. And he's also a good shot. He's got a big gun, and he's just, bold and courageous. That's the reason why. I'm with you, by the way. The first movies that he did with the old Western movies, Outlaw Josie Wales, and those were very, very good. The Dirty Harry movies, they got, the Hollywood freaks got involved with this, and all of a sudden they throw in these scenes like you're going to some kind of strip club and make it basically unviewable. You've got to, sit there and literally put the fast forward on, if even that, and have it go by, because you're going to see some nudity and other things that just ruin the whole thing. And that's very unfortunate that happened to Clint Eastwood films. But that's why people like him, I think. And, he's just got that aura about him of being the cool character with a big gun.
Yeah, and also something that somebody brought up to me one time is the frustration that people have. In other words, they're always taking a beating from a bureaucrat somehow, or somebody got a parking ticket or a traffic violation ticket, and there's no way around. You can't argue with the cop or the judge. I just use traffic. It could be building code violation. It could be anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Your neighbor, and you can never get anybody. I'm not saying
can't fight City Hall.
Can't fight City Hall, and you can't go out and shoot these
right.
guys at the moment. It's not a necessity.
Yeah.
At the moment, but this guy goes out with his famous 44 Magnum. And the most powerful handgun in the world will blow your head clean off. and do you feel lucky? All these things that people are actually this is something fairly deep that we need to think about. We'll take this up when we come back from our break. Why in the world do you, as a public, like Mr. Eastwood?
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84.
You are listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, 97.7 FM in Greenville, 87.9 FM in Spartanburg and Liberty, and 96.5 FM in Piedmont.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. The guest host today, Mr. Greg Ferrier, in the studio with me. We've been talking about some interesting things here. Before we get back to that, though, I want to mention two quick things to you. One is the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition to Save Your Private Property. This is a petition you can sign in 30 seconds online. We hope that you'll do and join the 300 or so people who have already signed the petition. Go ahead and click on tyrannyresponse.net or tyrannyresponse.com and scroll down under the related media tab. You'll see the link there. It'll take you 30 seconds to do so. Go ahead and do that today. Head out and find and find that link and support private property, support fundamental rights to life and liberty as well. Also want to remind you that under the contact tab are various email addresses. We need volunteers at the Tyranny Response Network. We also need some financing. If you can send in a donation to the Tyranny Response Network at the address is on the webpage, or help out by even spending a couple hours tacking up antennas for us or working on computer networks, helping raise funds, helping spread the word. Anything you can do for a couple hours. We're also looking for a special substitute producer for the Christian Worldview show, my show. If you're able to do that, please let somebody know. You can either call Chuck at 271-6761, that's 271-6761, and today's a good day to do that, or you can simply send an email to anyone on that page, and we'll put you in touch with the people so that you can indeed help out this very great and monumental effort.
We do need somebody to fly the plane while John is turning from the microphone to the board, so it may be dangerous if we have one man flying the plane and not paying attention to what he's doing out there on the board. So if we could get somebody in here that knows how to do the producing. John, you got to help me out on this one about this meeting up there at the library off of Pelham Road.
Ann Campbell's Americans for Constitutional Government Monday, always the fourth Monday of the month, except I think at Christmas. It's the fourth Monday of the month. It starts at 10 o'clock in the morning and goes till noon. Sims Library off of Pelham Road in Greenville.
How does how can you introduce legislation? Let's get some good laws up into there. Our Senator, Mr. Mike Fair, is going to show us how to do that. So as we were talking about before, I am trusting that the Easley Home Educators and other groups out there in Pickens County and so forth will come out and find out how all this is done, how they can learn how government runs and how you can maybe slow it down a little bit.
And it's especially important for homeschoolers to attend. Obviously, other people who are beleaguered by other school requirements like attendance and classes and things like that won't be able to go. But if you're a homeschooler and can adjust your kid's schedule a little bit for Monday morning, we'd encourage you to get out there to the Sims Library at 10 o'clock in the morning. Now, I know it's a bad day for some people, even for my own kids. We have the co-ops that day, so we may have to actually either miss the co-op, or if they can't miss co-op, they'll have to miss the event there with the senator. It's too bad it's on Monday, but if you can make it out, and you're a homeschool parent, we hope you'll try to do so. Anyway, we've got about 9 minutes left in the show today, so let's go ahead and finish up what we were talking about with Clint Eastwood and then move on to some other stuff if we can.
If we can, all right. Well, John, you had answered my question. Why do people like Clint Eastwood so much? And you're saying he's the cool guy that goes cut through the bureaucracy and so forth. And I was thinking in terms of an answer, how I would answer this would be to say that he is somebody that people project onto, and he is somebody who relieves, people can identify with him, and he relieves their frustrations. When evil is done to somebody, when people are frustrated by the bureaucracy, it's almost it can deteriorate, and I suppose in many cases, in an unsanctified conscience or mentality, you know, you're cheering when he blows the bad guy off into the pond with his 44 Magnum, and everybody cheers. Something that changed my whole mind was when I worked in the hospital and began to see people coming in with various wounds, and you know, whether they be a wound from a knife or a gun, or whether it was just a traffic accident. It began to sober me.
Tragic. It's tragic.
Yeah.
Death and harm.
And we look upon this and begin to cheer it. I suppose a lot of that cheering is the release of energy or emotions and so forth. But, you know, they bring these things up to such a fever pitch in the movies that people, you know, when that gun goes off, you know, that thing is a huge cannon and blows somebody through a big plate glass window, and or you see him floating away in the pond in some of these various things here. or where, you know, he mows down four or five people. You know, that famous line of his, are you going to pull those pistols or whistle Dixie?
Yeah.
You know, and then he goes out and guns down four or five Union soldiers.
Yeah. Of course, the thing is, it's all in self-defense, or he's getting the bad guy, and that's why people are willing to overlook it. You know, these are nasty, mean men that he's killing, deserve to die, basically, and he's doing it. So he's a judge, jury, and executioner, but people like it because the bad guys... It's the same thing that happened with that Independence Day music. Remember how the government was worried because the UFO or whatever it was came in and blew up the White House and the Capitol, and people were applauding and cheering because of their hatred for the civil government today. I have that sense in me too. I mean, I hate to see people die, but if they're evil people doing evil things, such as our government does, then you don't feel quite as bad when some of those evil doers die than you do when somebody who's good is dying or been hurt.
All right, help me out with that quote by General Lee about people. It is well that people, in other words, the whole idea being that when people see war and the horror of it, there's the one aspect of it where we have the cheering and we won and so forth, and then you go out and look at the carnage. They had a fellow out here at the last battle, Confederate reenactment, where this guy actually had these mannequins that depicted some of these bodies that were laying out in the field for months. When was the Battle of Gettysburg? It was in June, July.
Yeah, that's right.
When they got the last of the dead and wounded out of there?
No.
November.
Oh, my. Huh.
Yeah, I mean, now you're in a battle, you get hurt, you get a leg shot off, you get killed. I mean, they got a helicopter in there and you're out of there. Relative, not fast enough, but certainly much quicker. But from July to November, laying out in the field there, when the battle was over, the people of the town came out and were giving water and aid to the soldiers of both sides. That's the kind of thing that kind of makes, like my father used to use the expression, makes the old apple come up.
Yeah, no kidding. My.
Where, it's the horrors of these wars, the horrors of, before you think about shooting something, opening up on somebody, one thing about a bullet wound, a lot of time they're just like a little pinhole. And
at least on the front end, the back end,
or it may not come out, and go around there and grind, make raw hamburger out of somebody on the inside. And I've seen a few of these in my time, and it's not something that you really think that, boy, I don't really relish the idea of being responsible for such a thing. But it requires a whole lot more thought than just going out and being like the cowboys.
Right. Well, the Christian worldview is we need to temper every action. That's very true, and we should be different than the world, even on these issues of justice and how we handle things. So it's a great point you're bringing up, and we need to constantly be tempered by the Word of God when it comes to how we handle even self-defense.
Yeah, I think if we, a lot of times the movies have become, we've complained that they become more and more graphic, and I wouldn't want my kids to see this. Well, what happens when you grow up, you get into your mid-20s or early 20s, mid-20s, like I was, and all of a sudden I started seeing some of these horrors? I don't like to see them on the movies myself. I'm usually rather repulsed by these things. And so, like I say, there's the temper of it all. It isn't all. I was struggling to get that Robert E. Lee quote out about, if you saw the horrors of war, we wouldn't revel in it so much.
Yeah.
And but then again, on the other hand, it's one of these horrifying necessities.
Yeah.
It's like sin when you begin to realize. I heard old Dr. Lloyd Jones one time say, "What is a real Calvinist?" He says, "A Calvinist has looked into the pit of hell, and he realizes that he could belong there."
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Well, that's something.
It's the same thing with pulling a gun on somebody or having to defend yourself.
It's tragic, but in a fallen world where you have predators who go around and try to take away not only your liberty but your property and your life and rape and pillage, that, you know, that you need to have some way to defend yourself in a fallen world. And as tragic as it is that you may have to kill somebody,
I agree.
It's an awful reality we just have to live with. And as Christians, we can participate in that. What Christians are having a hard enough time doing is participating in the slaying of state criminals. For some reason, they have a harder time shooting a Stalin or a Hitler, if he could, because he's elected or because he's in political power one way or another, or George Bush for that matter, anybody else. It doesn't matter who it is who's elected. They have a harder time getting one of those people than they would just a common thug on the street. Our founding fathers didn't look at it that way. They saw self-defense as a necessity, no matter who the criminal was or where, what his office or profession was. Now, we have 1 minute, so I want to give you the last word here, Greg, and then we're going to sign off.
What was it, General Jackson, who complained that he was stopped by the President of the Confederacy from going across the Potomac and hanging Lincoln?
Yeah, Jackson was stopped by Jefferson Davis.
Jefferson Davis. Yeah. Couldn't come into my head at the moment. Brain cramp. Yeah.
Which is too bad. I mean, how many hundreds of thousands of lives would have been saved if Jackson just would have gotten across and chopped Lincoln's head off and shot a bunch of those evil Republicans?
Now, be careful now how you're saying all this. Probably, you know, that's war and the way things go. Are we saying you need to stop watching Clint Eastwood movies?
Well, at least you got to censor out certain parts of them. I don't know. I think you always have to look at things with... Through a lens of a Christian worldview, and be careful in how you judge things. Don't put anything before your eyes that's vanity, or as little as possible. Mm-hmm. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. So glad you've joined us this morning, and hope we've made your day brighter. We're sure glad we could bring this great presentation to you. We look forward to another show Monday morning and another edition. And until then, I'd like to wish you God's blessings.
All right, well, my turn to say goodbye and give you my greetings. May the God of heaven prosper your way.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us at 7:30 Monday morning right here on TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, for another installment of Christian Worldview.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.